Can this podcast be called Boys Night Out?
Yeah. It's Boys Month.
Boys Week.
This is Guys Week.
Yeah. Wow.
No, that's funny. You gotta leave this space after I Love Jacket.
This is off the rails.
Boys Night Out.
Hello, welcome to the October edition of the Woodman Worship Podcast. I just looked at my watch to figure out what month it was, and all it said was Thursday 7, so that wasn't helpful.
The Thursday is the second.
Yes. Hopefully this comes out to you actually in October. I guess last month it did come out in September. I admit I hit send on the newsletter September 30th at
still September
5 p.m.
It's still September. Yeah.
Anyway, this is October now, and
according to your watch,
right?
Yeah.
If you haven't heard already, it's Boys Month on the podcast. Casey has stepped out this segment, so we have Carson back. I know you all missed him last month, and then two new voices for you. We have Andrew.
Hello.
We have Dale.
Hello.
With us today, and you're going to hear a little more about them in a second. We have a whole segment planned with Ask Dale and Andrew Anything.
I'm excited for that.
Yes. We mentioned last month that we are now including all of our tech ministry partners on this podcast and newsletter. So this episode is a lot of tech talk, but then still the segments you've also grown to know and love, such as music we're listening to and things that are on the radar. So excited to talk to Dale and Andrew a little more in depth in a few minutes here. But first, let's kick it off with our normal top segment on the radar. A couple things. October, we already talked about this last month. October 24th is All Church Worship Night. 4 and 6 p.m., childcare provided at the 4, Woodman students joining us at the 6. We are just a few weeks away from it, and lots of exciting things planned, I think. It'll be special. You know, the hope with these is we don't do them that often, and we want it to feel a little different than the weekend service. And so we're really going to invest a lot of time and energy and creativity into making it super impactful and feel a little different than a weekend. So hope you can make it, since we only do a few of them a year. I think it will be well worth your time to be there. A lot of fun things planned. A lot of fun songs in store for that one. And the big band. It's always just fun to see different leaders and musicians from all the different campuses together creating one super group. So there you go. October 24th, worship night. In terms of this month, the month of October, still in the Overland series, there is, this blew my mind today. There's no new song this month. So everyone take a little breath and enjoy that. Been playing that song, Egypt, which has been fun and has that bridge. You kind of feel like dancing or that's clapping, but you don't want to get too crazy, you know.
Think about 10% of people.
That's right.
Want to start dancing.
That's right. And then there's another 10% who would rather be somewhere else. But
we're really going for the 80%.
That's right. Yeah.
We're shooting for the herd, right?
That's right. Anyway, there are. It's Boys Month. There are. But there are no new songs this month, but I will say there are a couple songs that may not be as familiar that are not in our normal rotation that we are playing this month. One of my personal... Actually, both of these. I love both of these songs. There's a King is coming up in a few weeks. We did that at Christmas, and it's not just a Christmas song. Phenomenal from Elevation. And then also, maybe, hot take, maybe my favorite song, worship song, that we do. Psalm 46, coming the end of the month, and maybe it'll show up at worship night too. Just a little teaser there. So
that's your all-time favorite worship song.
Maybe right now, right now,
currently, in your current state.
The title is "You Never Let Go."
That's a good one. Yeah, shoot, "Never Let Go," Matt Redman. That is also up there. And then "God With Us," Torwalt, is also up there.
That's good.
So
it's a good list.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hey, one other thing to get on your radar. Next month, in the month of November, we have Jeff Mathena, a vocal coach, coming into town, coming to Woodman, and he is going to lead a workshop for all of our vocalists on all campuses. It's going to be on November 6th from 9 to 11:30 a.m. Hopefully, you've gotten an invite from Planning Center. Please go ahead and respond to that. I'd highly encourage you make it out to that. And if you're not a vocalist and you're interested still in coming and learning about how to be a better vocalist, you're welcome to come and just talk to your campus worship leader and we'll get an invite sent to you. Jeff is a great guy. He's a great friend of Woodman. He's worked with our staff over the last few years and we've seen some great results from putting into practice some of the techniques and warm-ups that he's recommended to us. So again, that's November 6th, Saturday at the Rockerman campus, 9 to 11:30. And if you're on the fence or you might be busy or have other things come up, here is a little message from Jeff himself explaining a little bit about what you can expect that morning and why you should come and be a part of it.
Hey, Woodman Valley, Jeff Mathena here. Really excited to be teaching a class on your campus on Saturday, November 6th in the main sanctuary at Woodman Valley. We're going to be talking about the voice, how to train it, why it's important to train it, and how to overcome issues with your voice, even if you've been struggling with those issues for years or even decades. So you don't want to miss that class. It's going to be a really amazing, educational, worshipful time. Can't wait to see you there.
What are you looking forward to in October, Carson? He's looking forward to jacket weather.
Yeah, I love jackets.
Oh, big news too, if you see Carson, he got a new guitar. So ask him about his guitar.
That's big news.
He's very happy. Anyway, on to our next segment, what we're listening to right now. Well, I made a comment right before we started that I didn't think anything really new was out besides the obvious Bethel album. And then Andrew said, are you kidding me? There's tons of new stuff out. So he's really going to put this segment on his back. But I'll kick us off. The new Bethel full-length album called Homecoming with how many songs?
Well, I don't know how many songs.
How long is it?
It's 1 hour, 55 minutes, according to Spotify.
Great.
16 songs.
Which?
You know, most albums come out and they're like 35 minutes, 40 minutes, yeah. 12 songs. Bethel's like, no, 2 hours. Right.
Well, they've got like 50 worship leaders, so.
Yeah. You know, give this us... isn't a long song, so.
I appreciate a long album. Mm. Give me options. Yeah. Let's talk about our favorites.
Song Son of Suffering.
Yeah.
Oh, with Redman and David Funk.
That song goes hard.
It does.
That
bridge.
Song.
The bridge goes hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite.
Let's play a clip of that. I also really enjoyed the Dante Bo Hannah McClure song called "Weathered." It just has a different vibe.
Her voice is so cool.
Her voice sounds so good on it. Yeah. And then I'm a huge All Hail King Jesus fan. It's not a new song, but they threw that in on the end, and I've always wanted to do that. So maybe now we might in services one day.
It's a good album.
It's a great album.
I like it a lot.
Yep. Andrew, what are you listening to?
From that record, "Back to Life" is also one of my favorites. Mm. I'm not sure how you pronounce your name. Zariah? Zachary? Zariah, if you're listening to this, I apologize.
ZZ.
ZZ.
That's what her friends call her.
That's what her friends call her? Yeah. I'm one of those now.
Yep.
That's one of my other favorites off of that record. But other than that, Red Rocks Worship up in Denver put out a new record called Things of Heaven. There's a couple on there. I think after a couple of listens, I still liked the singles that came out the most.
Their singles were the best ones.
Yes, which is Echo Holy and Living God. And those are by far my favorite. But other than that, Jervis Campbell put out a record the beginning of this month, beginning of October, called Onward and Upward. And he's been putting out a lot of really awesome singles over the last year. But one of my favorites on that is Praise Him Forever. I think his songwriting, but also the production style that's put into his records are really organic, very vocal forward rather than overly produced. And he's just got a really unique voice that I appreciate in worship music. I think it's relatable to sing along to. So I really enjoy his writing and his style.
Nice. I'll throw in one more. It's not a new song, but again, a little teaser for worship night. Something I've been listening to again. A song called You Keep Hope Alive from Church of the City out of Franklin. Nashville. I was going to ask Casey, but she doesn't have a mic. If Franklin people get offended if you say they're from Nashville. No, they don't. Okay, great.
I think Nashville people would get offended if you say they're from Franklin.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, the song has it all. It's got, what does it have? It has a drum bridge. It has the big octave jump. Has some choir, some gospel vibes. But also some like little sensitive, nice piano stuff. You know, it has something for all everyone, for the people. So,
in the morning, hope, in the evening, hope, because you're living in hope, because you're breathing, there's hope, in the breaking, hope, in the sun.
Tingly. Well, now the segment you all have been waiting for. Steven and Carson ask Andrew and Dale anything.
This is going to get dangerous,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, it's going to go downhill.
Before we
call him Dangerous Dale for nothing.
That's a new one.
Is that right? That's right. Before we get into the questions, I'll introduce them a little bit because some of you have never met these guys, especially if you haven't been at Heights with Andrew, and then Dale's, he's had 2 weekends under his belt. So Andrew is he's a worship leader and tech director at our Woodman Heights campus, meaning he can do it all. So sometimes you'll see him leading on stage, sometimes you'll see him in the booth. He was a part of Woodman before he came on staff, and so sings, plays acoustic, plays electric, does everything in the booth.
If you've ever seen a guy that looks slightly like Carson gained a little bit of weight, that's probably me.
You're your own person.
Oh gosh. And then we have Dale, who just joined 3 weeks ago. Yeah. This is his third week. So far he's stuck around. He's joined our tech staff. As our central tech coordinator, his main responsibilities are kind of floating on weekends wherever there's a need, but he has audio experience. I mean, he also can do it all in the booth. And then also another big part of his job is working with our student ministries, and especially Sunday nights, and helping to provide leadership and vision for our tech students and training them and just Yeah, all things production with Student Ministry.
And so, as of today, podcasting.
And as of today, he is our podcast engineer. Well,
yesterday, but yeah.
Yesterday. So, yeah, let's get into it. For each of you, why don't you talk a little bit about just really kind of brief background and then how you got into, how'd you get into worship or how'd you get into production initially?
So it all started when I was 15. I started working at a summer camp, just in summers in high school, something fun to do. Was in the media department, started with photography, really enjoyed that. Turned into nobody knew anything about audio, and they're like, here's a soundboard. Play with it, figure it out, we don't know what to do. So from playing with that for a couple summers and then helping with youth group kind of later half of high school, my senior year, I was mixing and playing bass pretty much every week, which was an adventure and a challenge, but a lot of fun.
A lot of audio guys play bass, I realize.
Yeah. Well, I started with acoustic and electric, and then our bassist graduated.
Gotcha.
So
interesting.
I was like, I can figure that
out. Nice.
But yeah, from there, decided I wanted to go to school for audio, something I enjoyed and wanted to pursue a little bit. So went to school for it, got a degree, worked in I don't even know how many churches at this point, just part-time freelance gigs. Helping out where I could, getting plugged in, getting to know people, and eventually ended up here.
Where'd you go to school?
So I went to a very, very small school called University of Valley Forge. It's outside of Philly. If you've heard of Valley Forge from history, George Washington camped there for the winter, like 20 minutes from there.
Wow. So,
hence the name. But,
nice.
Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah. I also got into production and leading worship fairly young. My guitar teacher, I started taking lessons when I was like 10 or 11 maybe. And at our church, he was only, when I started taking lessons from him, he was probably only like 15 himself, but he was just a guru. Like, he was one of the smartest people I've ever met musically, but also tech wise. And even by the time he was 15, 16, 17, he was practically running the church in the tech world. So shout out Eric Hansen.
If you're listening, Eric,
also one of my other friends, this person I actually know. But he really, as he was teaching me guitar and fundamentals and technique and things like that, he was really talking in a lot of technical terms, production terms. And so I kind of followed a lot in his footsteps. He taught me how to create a mix and what to pay attention for and things of that nature. So that kind of got me a love for it and continued to serve in both of those, in both worship and tech. And there's a lot of other players that kind of encouraged me and pushed me in those directions in my younger years. And I was going to go to college for production, for audio engineering, and felt the Lord pull me out of that and say no, essentially. Pretty last minute. And so then I was looking for other things and felt the Lord calling me into ministry. And so I ended up going to Indiana Wesleyan University in a small town, Indiana. Studied worship ministry there. All the while I was studying worship ministry, I was working for a production company that was kind of affiliated with the university there. And we did everything from, we did a TED Talks event in New Orleans and we did real small gigs with like 15 people that showed up. So like it was like a really cool range of production style, and not importance, but level of excellence, level of gear, and, got to have my hands on a lot of really cool projects, in areas where I felt like I shouldn't be there, but learned a ton and had a lot of people invest in me throughout those years. And so after I graduated, I worked for a church as a worship and production director in Ohio for about a year and a half. And then we came out here and I've hopped around different audiovisual jobs and worship jobs over the past couple of years. And now I'm here, so.
Nice. Again, like, you guys have been on the team for a short while, but you know, when you hire someone, it's kind of, it's like a two-way deal. Like, you, the organization wants to be excited about the person, and you want the person to be excited about coming to work there. And so for you guys, like, what about Woodman was exciting to you as you came on, or as we're kind of praying about the opportunity, or even just kind of being here now, like, what either worship or kind of tech-wise, like, what excites you about what's happening here?
Kind of having feet in both roles. And, I mean, even before I came on, I pretty quickly noticed the collaborative effort between the tech team, tech ministry, and the worship ministry. And there's a lot of health and benefit that comes from that perspective when there is a collaborative effort and just having that perspective, really, that we're all on the same team. We're all on the same, going for the same goal. So I really appreciated that about this team here at Woodman. That I mean, even before I came on, it was like that. So stepping into a healthy environment is as always kind of gives you a boost and an upward trajectory. So yeah.
Solid. For me, it was just, there was a position open. I was on kind of a time crunch for finding a job just so that I could stay in Colorado and didn't feel obligated to move back to Pennsylvania because I didn't have a job here. But as I was going to New Life downtown, got connected to Carson. He was like...
The great connector.
Yeah. So a friend of Carson's was like, email this guy, get a hold of him. And then Carson didn't respond to my email and just forwarded it to Chuck Ray.
He does that with most of his emails.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Or Casey.Shave wrote.
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, so that's kind of how I got connected to Woodman. But then in my first meeting with Chuck Ray before I started, he just kind of offhand mentioned that I would maybe be working with students. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's actually really cool. Because it's something I've wanted to do and kind of have done. Last school year, I worked in a youth group doing tech. And just with COVID and everything, we weren't able to really bring students in and grow them in tech roles. So it was pretty much just me running everything by myself, which was a lot of fun. But so having that opportunity now, just that very intentional setting of we're pouring into students and getting them into a position that they can then jump onto weekend teams as ministry partners for weekend services is really cool to me.
So. Yep. Awesome. What, switching a little bit more to kind of the tech side of things, I feel bad because last week we, you know, welcomed in our tech ministry partners and the whole episode was on electric guitar and keys. It was a great episode. Here Comes Trouble Part 2. If you want to go back and listen to it. I was like, man, this is heavy on the music side, but good, still good to listen to. So we're going to be a little heavy on the tech side here. What's one thing in the production world or tech world, whether it's an idea, piece of gear, video or concert or some sort of production you've seen recently that has inspired you?
Oh, well, I had to text Dale this morning because I couldn't remember what it was called. But
and I didn't remember.
Either. And he didn't remember. So but he's the one that found it, so this might be a shared.
This he was the one that Googled.
Yes.
Yeah. You asked Dale, and Dale Googled.
Correct. Right. Correct. But it's called the Klang controller. It's a personal in-ear monitor mixer that we both kind of got our hands on at this MXU event that we went to a couple weeks ago. And the cool feature of it is this like 360 spatial audio, which I guess isn't, I mean, it's not a new feature. iPhones are kind of doing it nowadays, but isn't really used or utilized to its fullest capability within like the iPhone features. Yeah. And a lot of other people are doing it, but specifically with the 360 audio, it's essentially taking, I mean, you can visualize where you want the electric guitar and just fully like wrap it around your head, 360. And you can listen to it go around. And it's just a really cool feature. It spreads things out really nicely.
It's like as you're moving,
yeah,
you hear the guitar moving.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I can if I'm sitting here looking straight ahead, I hear the guitar in one place. But if I turn 180 degrees and look backwards, then all of a sudden the electric guitar spins with me. Hopefully I'm explaining that correctly. But
if you're like not,
it was just live audio in the room.
Yeah.
Like that's what it would be right. Like if you had the amp set up on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
Just for a demonstration, Dale is now going to take my voice and move it around your headphones live as you are listening to me talk. So here we go. To the left, back, right. Great.
Should there be a listener warning before that happens? Please.
Warning, that's not an example of spatial audio.
Yeah. Yeah. That is stereo panning.
Nice.
Yeah.
But that's actually that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. With that, out of college, I interned with a production company, and they do kind of a live, they call it immersive rig.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually never heard like the full rig, but they have this insane setup with one of the Meyer racks.
Okay.
But it just spreads it like a live band.
How many points of audio do you know?
A lot.
Yeah.
Probably at least 30 different speakers that's around the room. Yeah. Mm.
For record, most stereo live production, live systems, there's only 2 points of audio left and right.
Yeah.
What Dale's saying, 30 points of audio, that means there's speakers everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere. Cool. Yeah.
Under your seat, probably.
Nice.
Yeah, they also had like a studio that was immersive. Watching movies in there was a lot of fun.
Oh,
wow.
There were 53 speakers in this room.
Oh, let's do it.
That was tiny.
Come to worship.
Can you get us some studio time for that? Just to watch a movie?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a while.
I can say this brings us to our first plug of the podcast for the new Monument Building. We're looking at having 175 speakers. And so if you'd like to donate, Carson.Smith at Woodman
Valley. Wherever you walk in the building, you can still hear Mitch's voice. It's a feature.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
It might be cheaper just to pay Mitch to follow you around.
Not nearly as cool,
though. Not nearly as cool, though. Okay. Moving away a little bit away from the audio side of things, big news this summer was we, as a church, switched to ProPresenter 7 for kind of all of our screen content. And I mean, I am no expert, but Casey told me that is a significant upgrade from ProPresenter 6. And so as you guys have worked with that, what are some benefits that you're seeing from that switch? Because it is a little different for sure.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for one, you pull up, you can do a side by side of ProPresenter 6 and ProPresenter 7. And ProPresenter 7, just the look and feel and the interface of how you get around within the software, it feels modern, it feels updated. ProPresenter 6 felt clunky and like things were hidden and just kind of archaic. So that was a huge win for Renewed Vision. Also, yeah, they've done a lot with macros and actions and how we're using it. We've used it for a little while at Southwest and Monument, longer than we have at Heights and Rockerman. But we can utilize it to function as like a MIDI controller to our lighting systems. And ProPresenter, through like the macros and actions, we can tell one individual slide to fire a lighting scene, a lighting look. And there's a lot wrapped up in there, but that's kind of at the base level explanation. And it's saved us a lot. And that's not to say we're trying to like get rid of lighting ministry partners, but it's kind of worked really well as a contingency plan for the weekends that we're short on volunteers and ministry partners. But
especially COVID.
Especially COVID.
Man, the last six or 7 weeks, I feel like someone has dropped, you know, Thursday, Friday, somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
but, and I think overall within that connection, I think a lot of people see that and might like have it hooked up and then have the question, how reliable is it? And it's a solid connection, and they speak those from ProPresenter to the lighting system through MIDI. They speak really well together, and it's a really strong connection. So And also with ProPresenter, Jake Gosling, he has a YouTube channel called Church Front. He does a lot of great like side-by-sides of different gear, explanations of things, but he has like he has a 15-minute video that he put out I think last year on ProPresenter 7 that's really informative. It's short, it's concise. But Renewed Vision, they're the creators of ProPresenter. They put out about an hour and 15-minute video kind of doing like a way deep 101 on ProPresenter 7. There is timestamps on that one, so that might be fun to kind of jump through. But for any of you ministry partners that are wanting to learn more about ProPresenter 7, if you've already been working on it, or if you're on audio or lighting and you're just like, hey, I want to do a little cross training on my own, go and watch those videos. It'll be super informative and very helpful to the team overall.
Yeah. So I've actually been using 7 for a year.
Whoa.
So I don't even remember what 6 was like.
What a flex by Dale on his first podcast.
We were on the update game.
Yeah.
He was at the big kids table before we even knew there was a big kids table.
No, I wasn't doing anything crazy in 7. Like, didn't know how to use macros. Didn't need to use macros.
Yeah, but true.
So that's new to me, and it's super cool just seeing how everything can just integrate and work together, even though it was designed by different companies.
Final thing. This might get back to audio a little bit, but so kind of our tech staff and myself and Brian Whitman, we all went to a conference that Andrew alluded to earlier called MXU in up near Denver. It was really cool. It was like an all-day thing. These three guys, crazy, solid audio engineers, mixed at some of the biggest churches in the country and other artists. Basically, each had a console in a room. And they would take multi-tracks, and they would just kind of show you and walk you through how they create mixes, and they'd be like, give feedback to each other and be super collaborative, and it was super cool. And there was a ton of gear there. That's where Andrew was inspired by the
Klang?
Klang. Thank you.
Klang with a K. Controller with a K.
Wow.
Yeah.
German?
Probably.
Yeah. All sorts of gear there, too. Really cool. For me, just more on the worship side of things, it was really thought a lot about like how, man, our Saturdays are so short, and there's all these things that our audio guys are trying to figure out, and so just the value of me as a musician or a vocalist trying to show up and having already prepared things and being consistent with my sound so that they can kind of work that into their mix, and because we only have a few hours to get that dialed in on Saturday, so the easier I can make it on them, the less stressful it is. But for you guys, as you went there that day, whether it was maybe audio or, I mean, there's an amazing video director guy there too who was doing a lot of cool stuff, or just even philosophically, something that stood out to you there that you're going to think about maybe trying to implement or do more of here at Woodman?
Yeah. I think what really stood out to me was just their drum mixes were so big and so energetic and had so much presence to them. And it's something I've looked for in my own mixes and have never really been able to find. So it's just hearing them walk through their processes and their kind of mindset and why they do what they do. I thought some of their kick EQs were really crazy at first, like looking at them and it's just like everything under 100's just all the way up. And I'm like, it's kind of much, but it translated to the room to just that like punch you in the chest kind of feel. And I didn't go as far as they did with it in my mix at Heights last weekend, but definitely kind of push that low end to get more feel and presence in the kick. The other really big thing was just parallel compression on a drum mix. Just like A-B-ing it and hearing how much life it brought to the mix. It is definitely something I want to work on and have tried before to very little success.
For someone like Carson who doesn't know what parallel compression is, talk a little bit about what that is.
So parallel compression is when basically you take all of your drum inputs and you send them to your main mix, but also then you take it into their own separate mix and you compress the heck out of it.
Just
and
the whole group.
Right. Obliterate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just squash it down so it's like the same volume the whole time. And then you blend that in with your kind of dry sound to just make them much more loud and aggressive, basically. It's the kind of dumbed down version of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Carson says, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, just, and then the different ways that they can do it. There's, I don't know, they were saying there's no like right way to do it. You can set it up to get more of the attack and the transient or the tail of a snare. So it just kind of fills and swells and sounds really cool. There's like big dark snares. But so yeah, that's something I'm working on next couple weeks probably. Just trying to get the right sound out of that and something that I'm happy with.
Nice.
Where should they send audio complaints?
Yeah, any audio complaints in the next few weeks, casey.chabrol@woodmanvalley.org.
I was going to volunteer.
But boys. Want some.
No.
Or if you send it to Dale, Dale will just not respond and send it to Casey.
Yeah, apparently that was a big deal.
Actually, I'll send it to Carson big deal. So that he can send it to Casey.
My turn. Yeah, compression was also something really cool that they spent a lot of their time on. And I think something that stood out was that they didn't necessarily 100% of the time use compression for what it naturally was built for, but they kind of use it to shape the tone of the instrument that they're compressing. And a lot of times they'd throw a compressor on something and then not even let the compressor engage, just by simply putting it on the in the signal path and then turning it on and having the parameters set so low that it's not even really being used. But just listening to the way that it shaped the tone was super intriguing. And so that's something that I'm kind of walking away with, as well as parallel compression.
About that,
yeah.
That was kind of crazy.
Yeah. But also to what Dale said, I think for the audio techs that are still learning, I think it is easy to look at their EQ and visually say this is correct for this specific instrument. There's a lot out there that you can. There's a lot on the internet that you can use to visually tweak certain EQs for instruments, but it really comes down to how it sounds in the room. Like Dale was saying, their kick EQ was just outrageous and it looked wonky and it looked like you were just like wrecking any type of tone that they were giving you. But within the context, within the room, within the system, it sounded awesome. So that's just another plug to use your ear, not your eyes, especially on EQ, and start training your ear rather than your eyes within your mix. So
nice. And I'll say this, like, for anyone maybe on the worship side of things listening, like, you know, we start talking about parallel compression and whatever you said about something being in the hundreds and all that stuff, and you're probably like, what is going on? But man, how cool would it be, like, if, you know, you're the drummer and you're able to speak a little bit of that kind of language with your audio, whoever that is, audio person is, on the weekend, and work together to kind of figure out how to create the best drum sound, because a lot of it is like the source and what you're doing and what you give to the booth to work with. Or how cool would it be if, you know, the vocalist or worship leader, like, they knew a little bit about Pro Presenter and so could understand what's happening, like when, you know, stuff's come up on the back wall or they need to change the order or anything like that. So again, this adding in kind of some tech talk to these podcasts, that's kind of our hope, that we're all kind of can understand a little bit more about what, if you're in the back, you're understanding a little bit more about the band's thinking about and what they're dealing with. And if you're in the stage, you're thinking about what the booth is thinking about and trying to figure out, and that we can all kind of work together even more and make our services just even more impactful on the weekend. So, hope that was interesting and informative to all of you. Thank you, Dale and Andrew. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Thank you.
This may have been the last Boys Month ever. We'll see what the feedback is.
If Casey lets us do it again.
Yeah. We'll see Yeah, Casey already looks like she wants to meet with us all after this and has some feedback for us. So this might be the last time for Boys Month on the podcast. But until then, we'll see you in November.
That's the next month. Yeah.
That's the next month. Yeah.
Funny how that works.
All right. We'll talk to you all later.
Bye.